on the walls that didn't give you the right color, the natural color, because light coming through a silk lampshade that is maybe a little bit parchment color will cast a different tone to the color. However, when Visconti made the movie Senso, it was a period piece that took place in about 1860 when they had gas lamps. So to be absolutely accurate, he went to all the trouble to put gas lighting in the Fenice. It's simply a spout of gas in all the sconces with no lampshade, just a little glass hurricane lamp sort of thing. So, and that was true color. So stills from the movie Senso from 1955 or thereabouts were really the only valid source of color for rebuilding the Fenice, and that's what was used.
Well, finally then, you still go back quite frequently, do you? Are you you can show yourself in Venice. You're not going to be lynched by anybody or whatever. You can walk freely through the streets.
I can. Well, a few people might be unhappy.
Here we are, walking through the streets.
Happy with my book, most.
And I'm afraid that somehow we've lost transmission. But all is well, because you are tuned to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Trash Tanner, and back from a slight escapade is Nimrod.
Well, my parole officer said, go do the show. But we are without a sock on the microphone, meaning that you may hear some pops like that. And so it's not intentional. It's not to irritate. I can do that in other ways. So welcome to our program, our little radio show, Hot Times, Summer in the City. It's so sweet out there, man. The sun is back, and it's the Summer of Love special as we work towards Long John Tanner's moment of glory once again on the streets of 4th Avenue. Those were different times, but now is now. And are you experienced? Have you ever been experienced? I know that as young as I am, I have. How about you?
Still working at it, Dad.
You'll get there. Just be cool.
Okay, Junior.
And that little thing that you have in your hand, swallow it now.
If you can just get your mind together, then come on across to me. We'll hold hands and then we'll watch the sunrise from the bottom of the sea. Are you experienced? Have you ever been experienced? Well, I have. Well, I know you probably scream and cry that your little world made out of gold and can't be sold. So are you experienced? Have you ever been experienced? Well, I yeah, we've been just doing
such a mess. Such a mess.
This is the time when you have the Hendrix purists calling up the station complaining that, you know, why did you play her doing that song? Well, because we wanted to and because we thought it's a different take on early Hendrix. Are You Experienced? A song that many of our senior listeners may have remembered during their first trip. Did you? There's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah,
here, you take my song, because I think you pop more than I do. There you go, Nimrod.
I pop more than
you're
you.
A little a popper there, yeah. Yeah, it's funny, you know.
I don't do poppers, man.
You answer the phone and, why are you playing that version of that Hendrix song? And, well, yeah, as you say, we like it. We wanted to hear it. It's different.
There's nothing wrong with somebody, you know, like somebody else's, it works or it doesn't work, and for us, it kind of worked. Well, you hear the surf out there that's just off Wreck Beach, and Luke is down there again with his meat, and it's disgusting.
Riding his bike in the sand is no fun.
Mid-August, summer returns for the final blast for those missing the big outdoor pools, and I guess that's in Burnaby as well.
Yes, Eileen Daly Pool.
And you may be very, as some people are, very tentative, man, about wading out into the ocean. I do. It's perfectly fine. It's clean water, really. We recommend for those who want pools, we recommend the beautiful pool out at UBC. There's two of them. One is indoors. The other one is outdoors. Lifeguards, diving boards, many lanes, lots of hot bods, nice patio lounge, light refreshments served by poolside, and that all-you-can-eat shrimp, lobster, a salad bar, and barbecue buffet offered by CITR staffers. As a matter of fact, you'll find Lydia out there right now cooking up a storm, and many of the volunteers. And, of course, students from health sciences and physical fitness here at UBC offering shiatsu, reiki, and acupuncture at poolside. And you could meet Luke Meat. Although, is he riding a bike?
He is. Well, he stopped smoking, and he's starting to put on a bit of weight, so he's kind of exercising on his bike, you know. So,
yeah.
Good luck, Luke. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I went by his office, and I just said, Luke, where are you? And it was him. I just couldn't see past him, you know. Anyway, the beaches are okay, though. The lifeguards are on duty. The garbage strewn isn't so bad. Just remember, it's not the water that stinks during Sam's strike. CITR.
Radio, radio.
can see fire, it's burning for miles, hang on.
We'll jump in the lava, it'll melt us together, hold on.
Through your eyes, beautiful.
If these blue skies turn gray, would you turn and walk away? I know
that when it burns, it'll hurt, and then you'll fall to the floor.
Listening to Lightning Dust.
You're sounding very, very casual.
Yeah.
Very sort of laid. I guess the word is laid back.
Laid backest. Yes.
Right.
So, in case you're wondering, thank you, Nimrod. I try to be as laid back as I can in the summer. That was Amber Weber and Joshua Wells. And, you know, they've been with Black Mountain for years, but they've decided to do their own thing. And they've got lots of creative energy there. And so they call themselves Lightning Dust. They are local. And you should check out their CD. Some good tracks on there. That was called Jump In.
Okay, now, if you recall, it was about a year and a half ago when you took my dad and myself on that on the MS Amsterdam. We went to see a movie,
yes.
And the movie was called because you know whatever they showed, we went.
Yeah, right.
Everything is illuminated. Liev Schreiber, the director, and it was starring a little guy from Lord of the Rings. What's his name? You know
yeah.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Who, then?
I can't think. My mind is blacked out.
What's
but
his
I know,
name? What's his name?
The guy that played Frodo.
Yeah. Well, he was in that movie, but in the movie, it was stolen by, and we didn't realize this, by a guy named Eugene Hertz. Now, cutting to the chase here, Eugene Hertz also has a band. And they are a band that have taken New York by storm in their own particular way. They are like a band of punk gypsies. You've probably heard about them. They played them here before on CITR. The new album hasn't come in yet. Don't know why it's not here, but brought my own copy because I couldn't resist the cover. and having some Eastern European blood in the family, as you know, don't let my dad's name throw you off.
Right.
I just thought, got to hear this. Got to hear it. So if you're ready, if everybody's ready, this is a song about, it's like the lyrical content is pretty serious in a lot of this stuff. It doesn't sound like it is, but you may be dancing by the end of the song, or you may be thinking about the trade in Europe of Eastern European prostitutes who are enticed into work as a model. This is what this song is about. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are ready, please put your borscht down and put those palachintas away, and we are going to dance now to the Gogol Bordello.
Marina!
You rock, man. You rock. This is Gogol Bordello. This great Gogol Bordello, Eugene Hutz. Not his real name, but it's Ukrainian. His background story on this guy is amazing. You know, working out of New York right now. I have the information here. I have to see. There's the picture of him right there on the left, and so you might recognize him as
right here, as the
funny guy, and everything is illuminated. He does a fair amount of acting, writing. He's a musician, and he has this band, Gogol Bordello, who are known as much for their Devil May Care attitude. They have chaotic stage shows. Yes, we are reading from Exclaim of a couple issues ago. Flamboyant garb and hot female backup dancers. Kind of gypsy punk. The band's messages vary in their pertinence, political import, and basic comprehensibility. 14 tracks. Super Taranta is the band's fifth album, covering everything from the banality of American marriage ceremonies to sex trafficking in Eastern Europe, which we just heard, to an aptly named super theory of super everything. To get hung up on individual meanings is to miss the point, however, as Gogol Bordello's mission statement is quite simple in essence. We create an ultimate party, the 34-year-old Hutz says incisively, and in that party we throw in all these ideas out on the table up for grabs. It's like a fruit basket of progressive ideas. And like their namesake, Nikolai Gogol, who smuggled Ukrainian language patterns into his writing, for you literature students out here at UBC, the band are using punk rock to smuggle radical ideas and Romani culture into America. They borrow from rebellious musical genres across the world, mashing together ideas recklessly, as they do colors on the album covers. The band's eight members hail from everywhere, including Israel, Russia, Ethiopia, Ukraine. Anyway, they Whoa. Are... What?
That's amazing, though.
They are not to be missed live, and there may be a few tickets left here and there. Good luck. Gogol Bordello.
Yes.
It's not a novelty act. It's a real thing. They are musicians, and they play very, very well, and they're very funny. And this guy here, now that I told you about the movie and you remember that, you might want to go and see it.
I might, too. And www.gogolbordello.com will give you more information about that band you just heard. I love the fluorescent green background on this. I mean, the CD, it just grabs you right away.
Well, it's psychedelic for you.
It is.
I mean, it does. Those kind of things, too. And you're wearing a Bob Massey Hippie Days T-shirt from last year, but Hippie Days has morphed. I think more successfully name-wise into the Summer of Love. Lloyd Love came up to me and said, your biggest fan just said, isn't it hip? Aren't you doing Hippie Days? I said, well, Lloyd, it's the Summer of Love. And he just melted. He just cried on the spot. He said, beautiful, man. You know, so got lots of things going on, and you're going to be at the center of attention come Saturday, 4th Avenue. We are waiting for a phone call. And you might like to tell us a little bit about some of the things that are going on that you're going to be involved in with.
Okay. Well,
who?
Thank you, Nimrod, because it is the 40th anniversary of the Summer of Love this Saturday, August 18th.
Cool.
From 11 to 6 p.m. on West 4th Avenue between Balsam and Fir. I noticed that machine stops. Isn't that weird? There's a CD player here that just stops on us.
I love the transition of talking about the old days, you know, when you didn't have things like machines like that. You just had, like, eight tracks to play. No problem.
Turntables that just kept playing forever.
Yeah, but now, and then you all of a sudden switched topics into technology.
Well, you know, when your record stops, when you start it.
Well,
you think
John, that's
like,
not a record. That's a compact disc.
Sorry, it's a compact disc.
All right.
Yes. Thank you, Nimrod. I think of it, it looks like a record, but it's not really.
It surprises sometimes, right? You got to pay real strict attention. Those are turntables back there, which I think you may be utilizing.
That's true.
Here we are
again. Now, we're going to trash this number one Denon machine because it keeps stopping in the middle of tracks.
If anybody would like it, it's free. Give us a call here at CITR. You know the number.
Here's one of the bands that'll be playing live this Saturday, two stages at 4th and Cypress, hosted by Michael Wilmore with Rock and Soul. Stage number two, 4th and Vine, with yours truly, Jolly John Tanner.
Did we call you Jolly John?
This band, the United Empire Loyalists, will be on live at 2 o'clock this Saturday afternoon.
When you're looking and you're searching, but you know you won't find. When you're running and you're hiding, it will never be night. When you're waiting, anticipating, but you know it won't come. When you're hurting, cause you're working, and it's already been done.
And groovy, man. There it is, United Empire Loyalists featuring Rick Enns. And they will be playing at around 2 o'clock this Saturday afternoon at the stage live on 4th Avenue. It'll be shut down between about 11 and 6 o'clock. during the day. Here are the bands in order on the Vine Street stage, where yours truly will be introducing these bands. The Top Drawer will be kicking off at 11 o'clock with Del Cowsill. That's his new band. The Orchid Highway, local Vancouver band, they do some very trippy, psychedelia-sounding stuff at noon. Brainchild, former Brain Damage, at 1 o'clock. United Empire Loyalists at 2. Dust Cover, a great Grateful Dead cover band, will be on at 3. Ross Barrett and his Flower Child at 4 o'clock. And 5 o'clock, it's the reunion after, well, since 1970, the last time they played Mother Tucker's Yellow Duck. 5 o'clock on stage, 4th and Vine, all part of the Summer of Love this Saturday.
And they will have helpers there. They'll be, you know, there's going to be restrooms available for them and everything. Not, you know, because all much older now, but... What's quite amazing is to see some of the old bands still be able to kick out the jams, as it were. Well, the year was 1988, and Reaganomics, of course, ruled the roost in America. You got a problem? Is it working? Oh, you got the background sound.
There you go.
Background sound. Okay. Little Tom Verlaine.
Yes.
All right. Okay, we're playing something right now off what is considered by many to be their finest moment, though they've had several. Sonic Youth, re-release of their considered classic. The year was 1988, just like yesterday. Daydream Nation, CITR 101.9
FM, live from UBC in Vancouver, British Columbia, by the sea. Gonna fight and tear it up in a hibernation for you. And we might even be podcasting, too, here at CITR.
Podcasting and streaming?
Yeah, at the same time.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
Wow. All right. Daydream Nation, Teenage Riot, I Want to Riot. We don't want to be dumbed down anymore. Let's burn down the Fox.
Sonic Youth, love them.
We have... You were complaining about something earlier on. You
might buses. I was going to wonder, you know, Nimrod, I mean, you ride the bus, too. Aren't those new transit buses totally the pits? I mean, I don't know about you. I'm popping now, too. The things that annoy me about the new buses, I mean, the seats are so damn small, and there's less number of seats on the bus to start off
That's
with.
True.
You think new buses would have more seats, but no, these ones got less seats.
And if you notice how many times they break down, you know, in other words, they pull up to a stop, and the driver says, "Folks, we have a problem here. You're going to have to get on the other buses coming pretty soon." No, it does happen.
Didn't happen to me, but it's just the annoying, uncomfortable, small seats. And the rear windows don't open. So I like to sit at the back and let airflow in, and the airflow is very poor on those new...
Poor baby.
Yes.
All right. Well, don't you feel, though, you got to admit, a lot more secure on those TransLink vehicles when the guys with the guns come on board to check your fare card?
No, I haven't seen them yet.
Oh, you will.
Oh, God.
Oh, you will.
Okay.
Try the east side of the city.
All right.
Well, it is the summer of love on positively 4th Avenue, and you can feel already the love in the Tony Bistros, the hair salons, the new age dentistry offices, the massage clinics, the home furnishing shops, and the modern fashion chains. It's a whole new era, but you're going to go back in time.
We will, yes.
Now, question for you. They had a blues festival on the weekend.
Out
towards your neck of the woods.
Deer Lake Park.
Deer Lake Park, a blues festival went very, very well. It was a family affair. And as always,
And Bjork was my first introduction to going there, and you recently went to John Fogerty there.
That's right.
What a great location. But, you know, and I got to ask you, because you are from that area nearby, Burnaby, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is a street there called Goring Street. Do you know it?
That's right. We went by that on the bus going to Bjork.
That's right. And I was told, somebody had mentioned, I asked about that, and somebody said, a local said that a small but aged group of seniors living on that street are ex-Luftwaffe pilots. Is that true or not?
A good question. Somebody
out of Burnaby might know that, but you know, who knows? I didn't think it was possible, but I think if we can get information on that, we'll pass that along. Goring Street, you know, like Welcome to Hitler Boulevard or something. I can't imagine. So the scary guy is going to be with us after the next song?
Yes, Michael Stranick is standing by.
The ufologist. All right.
Speaking of the Goring guy, here's right next door, we've got the Russian Front.
The Russian Front.
The Russian Futurists.
Oh, right. Well, there's a little bit of a Slavic taint to the show today.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
And that might be some of my heritage. I don't know. I mean... Russian Futurists, me, myself, and my rye bread. Actually, that's the very sublime bedroom pop, I guess you could call it, of Toronto's Matthew Adam Hart. This is a compilation of three previous Russian Futurist albums, all three of them. which would be a fine addition to your summer pop listening. Hooks and more hooks and yet more hooks. And right now on CITR, the Son of Night Dreams it was. It is now Radio at quarter to the hour of 7 o'clock. We only bring you that to let you know that the sunset will be earlier tonight than it was last night.
As a matter of fact, the sunset is at 8:32.
You don't miss a beat.
8:32 tonight.
I wonder if that has any impact at all. Does he sort of like just come out at nighttime after the sun goes down to stare at the sky and watch for those objects? And here he is. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Nimrod. Oh. Hello, John.
Hello, Michael. Were you watching meteors last night?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice and clear.
Yes.
Well.
How many did you see?
How many what?
How many meteors?
I see a couple.
Yeah, just a few flashes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, for the uninitiated, we have now the world's leading science fiction fanatic, UFO expert. His name is Michael Stranick. He's situated on the North Shore, and he's going to talk about unidentified flying objects.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to bite the hand that feeds us photos today. And we're talking about NASA. Strange things go on at NASA and always have. Now, my first introduction to what was going on at NASA was I had received in the mail a six-hour video. And this person had been downlinking everything that NASA had up. So I had 6 hours of tape to watch. And there was a lot of very interesting stuff there. A little bit forward, we had STS-48. That was the one that got the public interested. That was what I call the right-angle ice cube, in which you can see a light traveling across, the Earth's, background. And all of a sudden, it makes a right-hand turn. A complete 90-degree turn, and when it was analyzed, they found out it came to a dead stop, backed up, went forward again, and then made another turn. By the time STS-65 came around, everybody was seeing this kind of stuff, and there were people going through hundreds of hours of NASA footage. And then, of course, there was the big promo shot. One of the shows that they had regularly had to deal with the other space agencies in the world, and they had all their logos going by in an arc. And I saw something in the distance, and like this is something that they showed every day, and it looked like a drop of water bouncing around on a grill. Sent it to a video analyst, and he said that it went from 0 to 8 15,000 miles an hour in under a second. Not only that, because I thought it might be just a glitch in the film, he was able to detect that this thing was actually casting a shadow on the cloud cover.
Hmm.
Now, they used to have a keyword, and it was Santa Claus, and that was whatever NASA would use as a code word when they were up there in whatever vehicle, and they were seeing something unusual, and that was the code to switch to a link that was not being monitored. So this has been going on a very, very long time. And at the same time, NASA just won't tell us anything. Now, you were watching. What did you see just recently?
Well, I was watching the liftoff of the Endeavour, and I think that was Wednesday, wasn't it? Last Wednesday? Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think they lifted off around 3:30 in the afternoon. I was watching it on my computer. If you have high-speed internet access, folks, you can watch NASA TV. And I do recommend you check it out right now if you got it, because NASA TV is monitoring the space shuttle docked to the space station. And they're actually going over Vancouver tonight. If you're out there tonight, this being August 13th at 10:02 tonight, coming up in the west, about 10 degrees. degrees. It gets 79 degrees over the north, so almost directly overhead tonight for ISS and the shuttle docked together. Anyway, going back to Wednesday last, I was watching the liftoff and all the stuff that was going on with it, and then a little after they had a camera. They keep getting cameras on new parts of the spacecraft. They had a camera on one of the solid rocket boosters, the two solid boosters, the big things that are attached to the sides. And when they separated, the camera was on the boosters, so you saw the space shuttle going out of the field of view, and then you were watching the Earth and stuff and just sort of drifting away. And there was little things sort of flying around and stuff, and I think it might have been ice or stuff that was on there. You know, ice did hit the space shuttle. But then I saw at 3:50 two objects that were rectangular shaped, and they weren't side by side. One was above the other, and they traveled down vertically on the left side of NASA TV's image where they were showing the scene from the solid rocket booster. And these two objects just moved from above vertically straight down and disappeared from view. And they were gone. And right after that happened, they cut that scene and went back to the control room. So I thought, whoa, that looked pretty weird. What are those two objects? You know, they were traveling in a formation. So, you know, there's a lot of that going on. If you watch closely, you might just see things that are moving around out there.
Well, NASA technically is a civilian organization. But for the last 10, 15 years, it hasn't really been. People that go down there to visit say you walk in the place, and there are far more military walking around than civilians. So it's basically been taken over by the government, which is why they're just not as forthcoming. But, hey, if you can get the NASA live, watch it. You'll see something, absolutely.
Yes, definitely. Check it out. It was quite a thrill to see that, Michael. I mean, I've seen UFOs, I've seen daylight a disc, and I've seen objects at night in V formation. But just to see it on the TV like that, when you're watching a spacecraft above the Earth and you see these objects flying by, it's like, woo.
Why is it that you two have seen so many and I haven't seen anything?
We're focused. It becomes second nature to always be looking.
Uh-huh.
If you get involved when you're really young, and I started like 3 years old, it just becomes so much a part of you. It's like breathing. You just always see things, you know.
Makes sense.
Or look for things, and you're, you know, checking your peripheral vision. But I had a UFO sighting, but it was a close-up shot. You know, it was very close, almost within 500 feet, and I was one of nine people.
I accept all that, except it's just not fair. I want to see one, too. I'm still young. I got time.
Stop wanting to, and who knows, you might see one.
It's when you least expect it that
exactly.
It happens. That's right. You're never ready, but you just got to keep your eye on the sky, and that's all you can do.
I will.
Thank
I
you,
promise.
Michael Strainick, our UFO expert, and for talking about that. And we do recommend people check out NASA TV if you have high-speed internet access. Thank you, Michael. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
Will do, and I thank you much.
Okay. I think you scared Nimi just a little bit here.
Just a bit. But very far out. Thank you. I will see my UFO one day. It will come.
Now.
My ship will come in.
Radio is on your radio now. 4 minutes before 7, daylight shaving time.
CITR, CITR, CITR.
The good, the bad, and the queen. Yeah, nice stuff there, Nimrod.
It's been around for a while. Yeah. That, of course, is fronted by Damon Albarn and Paul Simonon. Remember him from that group called The Clash?
I do well, yes.
I bet you do.
Yes, he looks like he's been through a few battles, too, in the picture here.
But, yeah, but he survived. Many yes. didn't. Many didn't. He looks okay.
That was Herculean by The Good, the Bad, and the Queen.
Herculean, Herculean. So,
I never forget the day your dad, when I was down at the beach at Jericho, 1977, it was August, and he said, you better sit down. I was meeting him down at the beach. He said, you better sit down. I've got some really sad and bad news. He said,
I think I know what you're going to talk about.
And I sat down, and he said, well, it's about Elvis. And I said, no, what's wrong? What happened? Is he okay? Well, I'm afraid he's not okay. He just took too many pills and croaked.
Well, yeah. That's essentially what happened.
That's basically it, yeah. As a matter of fact, the jar of pills, I think, is... There's a story about
well,
that.
Well, they had like, one of his prescription bottles was sold a couple Saturdays ago in an auction of entertainment memorabilia. But it's been emptied. It was to include 12 antihistamine pills left in the bottle when the king died in 1977. Instead, it was sold just on its own because they found out it was against federal law, so they had to dispose of the pills. Like, that's a real problem in Hollywood, as you know.
Really?
And the president of Julian's, the West Hollywood, California-based auction house running the sale, said... and that's what happened. But as you know, the bottle was one of more than a dozen Presley items on the block at that Beverly Hills auction, containing Naldecon pills prescribed by Dr. George, who began treating Pres in 67 and was his personal physician until 1970, until Elvis's death at the age of 42 following years of heavy prescription drug use, and nobody really knew about that at the time.
No, of course.
It was an epidemic.
Yeah. And I guess he was doing them when I wanted to see Elvis in 57 when he was playing at Empire Stadium, but my dad wouldn't let me come down from Kelowna on the bus to see him.
You're not going
to
see that juvenile delinquent.
So I finally did get to see Elvis in 1970. November 12th, he played in Seattle at the Seattle Coliseum, and I went down there with Bill Ryder. And it was an amazing show. And then later, at one of our get-togethers with Pamela Burge and your dad, we found out that a friend who's a news guy, Scott Dixon, was at the same concert. And we thought it was 72, and Scott said, no, it was 1970, and I was there, and I made a tape of it.
You made a tape? Well, where is it?
Well, I don't know. It's around somewhere. So he dug the tape up, and we got it onto CD. And I actually have the little bit. It's pretty crappy sound, but this is the introduction. Anyway, it was an amazing experience to hear Elvis. It was the first time I've seen him live, I say 1970. And he wasn't overweight at this point. He had that stupid white jumpsuit. You can see here in the picture, those are pictures that people took at the Coliseum there in Seattle. And, yeah, it's really bad sound, but it's something to remember him by. But let's remember him with one of our favorite oldies of Elvis's. Taking you back, there's a lot of stuff going on in Memphis, so if you're heading down to Memphis, tomorrow there's Memphis, what is it, Good Rockin' Tonight tomorrow. I guess Red Robinson is hosting that. Then on August 15th, Scotty Moore, who's the last man standing of the original trio of Elvis, Bill Black, and Scotty's the only survivor. And August 16th, there's a thing called Spirit of the King, and some of the best tribute artists will perform this show at the Peabody Hotel Ballroom in Memphis.
So. Oh, I thought you were talking about the PNE.
Oh, no, no. Yeah.
I've been traveling over miles, even through the valleys, too. I've been traveling in day. I've been running all the way, baby, trying to get to you. I've been traveling night and day. I've been running all the way, baby, trying to get to you. When I read your loving letter, then my heart began to sing. There was many miles between us, but it didn't mean a thing. I just had to read you, baby. I kept traveling night and day. I kept running all the way, baby, trying to get to you. Well, if I had to do it all, I would travel night and day, and I'd still run all the way, baby, trying to get to you. There was nothing that could hold me or could keep with me. When your loving letter told me that you really love me true, Lord above, you know I love. My way was dark at night. He would shine as bright as light when I was trying to get to you.
All right, Elvis Presley, trying to get to you. That was recorded in 1955. And Elvis took a lot of songs that were other people's songs and did great versions. That was by a Washington, D.C.-based R&B group that were called the Eagles, not related to the other Eagles. And that was
I should hope not.
Yeah, really. And that was one of my favorites of his, too. So this Thursday, you can light your little shrine there and, you know, just say a prayer for the spirit of Elvis.
The king lives.
The king lives on there, yes.
But whatever happened to the American dream? But when is sunset tonight?
Around 8:32.
8:32?
Yes.
Okay, we'll head down to Kitts Beach there and watch the parade.
Still a few meteors flying around tonight, too.
Yeah, what's a good time to catch them?
As soon as it gets dark, you know, keep your eye on the sky.
You can't see it in the daytime.
It's pretty hard to see them in the daytime.
No, it's like watching the festival fireworks practicing in the daytime.
Right.
Some people did catch them when China was doing their show. They were actually practicing in the afternoon. So if you were down at English Bay, you could actually see some fireworks going off around 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. But it is Olympicalypse 2010 coming soon. Yet to meet one Vancouverite. Now, I don't know everybody. I know that there are those who are going, but I haven't met one who plans to attend, and I guess the major factor would be the cost. Do you know anybody that is making their plans?
No, okay.
But they're getting us prepped for the Canada line. A couple of weeks ago, Mayor Sams had, I don't know if he's going to have another one, Dig the Dig tour for kids. Come and see the deep excavation along beleaguered Cambie, kids. And look at that deep hole down there. That's where there's going to be a train running. Wow. Well, now, in addition to the chaos visited upon fast-vacating merchants, we now have armies of rats swarming above ground, having been dislodged from their subterranean dwellings. And seeking the wonderful array of enticing neighborhood garbage piling up and easily accessible in the back alleys of the Cambie Corridor. Hey, you know, rodents need to eat, too. Bon appetit. Tonight's Radio, CITR 101.9, your swinging sound of summer, and then and now is made possible with a grant from the Cambie Street Merchants Association.
Thank you, Junior Nimrod.
I'll walk you through it.
Well, the choir practice. There they are from CITR playlist, the choir practice. And our very own Scott is in there with a cast of 1,000 ladies all taking their clothes. No, that was just for people going to a wreck beach, I guess. It was called the Red Fox. So take off your clothes. Sounds like the Summer of Love.
nice harmonies.
Yes, there you go. Nice harmonies.
Nice harmonies there. They were playing music at the Pacific Cinematheque prior to, you would like this, the screenings of the Summer of Love Film Festival at Pacific Cinematheque, courtesy of the Cinematheque people and, of course, Videomatica on 4th Avenue. And they were playing some well-chosen music, and I walked in there because my dad was going to introduce a movie. And you know, they were playing a song, and... what it was Take Another Hit of Fresh Air.
Oh, right. Quicksilver Messenger.
But nobody in the audience, my dad said, anybody know who that was? And not one person, and there were several people there for the screening of Medium Cool who should have known, but they couldn't remember, you know. They are continuing, they being Pacific Cinematheque, with their Summer of Love cinematic celebrations right through until Thursday. And our thanks to both Cinematheque and Videomatica for this groovy look back, even for us young'uns who weren't there at the time, but know a lot through our family members, such as they are. A look back at the trash on the screen from that era, and there was a lot of trash, you have to admit. Most of that stuff is pretty awful. Lots of acid flashbacks for the senior attendees, a few freakouts requiring medical intervention, and quite a few young people like myself who maybe got some idea of what contributed to the way you boomers were back then and why you are the way you are now. My dad introduced, he did a pretty good job, you know, he stumbled up there, introduced Medium Cool, which is the must-see and most relevant of the offerings on view, Haskell Wexler. He was mobbed by many patrons who blamed him for their bad trips during his Captain Midnight tenure over at Seafund, as you remember.
Right.
But apparently, I wasn't there when you were there, but you were well-received, even had packed audience members offering you their seat or assisting you to go to the can. Very touching. So you did well there. What did you introduce?
Something Happening, a.k.a. Hippie Revolt.
Hippie Revolt?
A couple of shorts beyond LSD and psychedelic hippie love-in, yeah. Well, I was just talking about experiences that I'd had over the years working on 4th Avenue, and actually I'll be introducing I Love You, Alice B. Toklas tomorrow night. Now, it's on tonight at 9:15, that one with Peter Sellers, but it's also at 7:30 if you don't like staying up late. And I'll be relaying some psychedelic stories of mayhem and whatever.
You're going to be doing some baking tonight as well?
Yeah, probably get the old brownie mix out.
Did you hear about CITR's very own beloved Nardwar? He was there.
He was there, too, and apparently he was talking about the plaster casters, and apparently it was hilarious.
That's right, the plaster casters and GTOs. Well, his introduction to one of the films left some in attendance wondering if they were experiencing a bad acid trip. That might have something to do with the wardrobe more than anything else, but there it goes. And it wraps up on Thursday with a must see, which is chronicling the Vancouver psychedelic scene, 4th Avenue, called
The Summer of Love, the Vancouver Scene, in person Stan Fox, the man that's behind that. So, look,
there's Timothy M. Burge in the paddy wagon. There's Fred Latrimo and Dan McLeod wearing Marx's buttons. Many faces, sadly, some no longer around.
Fred never inhaled, though.
No, never did. There's the original Nam. Oh, look, Rohan's. And there's Terry David Mulligan's house on 4th Avenue, where he used to invite all the bands of visiting.
Oh, Terry, where are the Beagles?
And the amazing Jim Wilson chastising the Seeds of Time for not having a sound check. And that's because Jeff thought, we don't need it.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, too bad the Seeds of Time aren't playing again this year, but we'll tell you about some of the other bands playing later. What was the track we were going to play from this guy that...
He's pretty psychedelic.
Yeah, he is.
Track number one.
Track one, okay. Now, are we allowed to call him Prince?
Oh, you can call him whatever you want. You know, Mr. Nelson would be all right.
All right.
The artist formerly known as Prince, now known again as Prince. Not his greatest stuff, but actually a return to form for just songwriting generally over the last couple albums.
Oh.
A very soulful kind of an album. But we're not going to play the sexy stuff, and you're getting off on the cover.
Don't you like the cover?
Well,
here?
What would you call like, that?
It's a hologram.
It's a hologram,
yeah.
And it has Prince's symbol, and then it has if you push it another way, like you are,
tip it a little bit, then you got him hovering over the
right,
earth
It is kind of, you got to admit, yeah. It is kind of like going on acid, isn't it?
Ooh,
I mean, you're looking at that.
Oh, the colors! Oh, Nimmy! Oh,
it's beautiful, man.
It's far out.
Imagine holding planet Earth in the palm of your hand, with no regard for your place of birth or claim to any land. The only thing between us now is the truth we understand. If planet Earth was in the palm of your hand, now what will they say about us here? Did we care for the water and the fragile atmosphere? There are only two kind of folk and the difference they make. The ones who give and the ones that take. Just like the kind of spot the sun, planet Earth must now commit to balance with the one that calls it all to be within this sea's kingdom come. So shall it be written, shall be sung. Imagine you could rid the earth of anyone you choose. Which ones would you need the most, and which ones would you lose? Do we want to judge another, lest we be judged too? Careful now, the next one might be you. Just like the countless fights that revolve now,
send that out to Auntie Pam, big Prince fan.
Yeah, great guitar stuff there too.
Well, he cuts loose. There's some some schlock on the CD and that, but it's actually it's okay. You know, it's not like he'll never redo 1999 or Sign of the Times, but this is not bad. You know, and when he does some of his bedroom stuff, you know that shtick.
Yeah,
he does it better than anybody. I mean, you can laugh at it, but just the way that he. He melds the strings and that buttery sound. That
Even
he can...
better than Barry White?
Oh, yeah. Man, yeah. Barry White.
Yeah.
Hey, in 10 minutes, it'll be Kara Sue with
Alex.
With Smart Alex. And but right now, it's our duty to inform you of a very sad passing. Untimely co-founder of Factory Records. You may have heard that Tony Wilson has just passed away a couple days ago. Actually, it was what day is it today?
Today is Monday.
Oh, he died Friday. Okay, he died Friday. He died Friday.
Right.
57 years of age, and the co-founder of the seminal British record label, which launched the careers of several bands. Of course, Joy Division, New Order, Happy Mondays. Anthony Wilson, whose name was synonymous with the rise of Madchester, they call it, pop music scene in Manchester, Northern England, announced earlier this year that he had kidney cancer. He died peacefully at Christie Hospital, 605, family by bedside. As well as helping to set up Factory Records, he also was behind the famous or infamous Hacienda nightclub, a mecca for ecstasy-fueled excess in the 80s and the 90s, and was a broadcaster on TV and radio. BBC person said he was a very kind man, one of a real original, will be sadly missed. There will never be anyone quite like Tony. He was a true free spirit and a passionate advocate for Manchester, the city, its people, and its music. You may have seen the film 24-Hour Party People, in which comedian Steve Coogan played Wilson, which celebrated the heyday of independent pop music in Manchester. And... that's it.
Yeah, well, he was described as one of the great spotters of music talent, and he was the template for every indie label. Also behind Happy Mondays, which is a band I kind of like, but this is, I guess, our favorite band, your dad and I have always liked this band, New Order. So in memory of Tony Wilson, let's go back to 1987.
Yeah.
Jolly good new order here from Radio CITR, Trash Tanner with Junior Nimrod here, and we're getting ready for, that was new order, of course.
That's early new order. That was like during the transition from Joy Division. I think, can't remember if it was Bernard Sumner, Sumner singing on that, and sounding quite a bit like the late... late singer of Joy Division, Ian Curtis. And there will be a movie coming in the fall directed by Dutch photographer Anton Corbin, based on the life, the short life of the man himself.
Well, the Summer of Love is coming this Saturday to 4th Avenue. I'm just reading Rocket Norton's Lost in Space book, and he was talking about going to the Easter Bean back in 1967.
I don't remember it. I was too young.
Yeah, well, your dad was there, and we saw Country Joe and the Fish, and the Seeds of Time were playing there. But another band that was introducing their new bassist lead vocalist, Rick Enns, was the United Empire Loyalists, and they'll be playing, of course, at the Summer of Love up at 4th and Vine Street about 2 o'clock. But here's the other stage, and Michael Wilmore, who's a well-known guy around town, rock talk guy, Michael Wilmore, he'll be the MC for the car show stage at 4th and Cypress. That's just right where the old C-Fund building is. And the Monitors kick off at 11:30, followed by Twist and Shout. They're a Beatles tribute band. Then we've got Kentish Steel and the Chantels at 1:30, Good Soul. 2:30, it's Young and the Restless, good rock and 60s stuff. If you remember Soul Unlimited and R&B All-Stars, Wager, they're on at 3:30 in the afternoon, and followed by Unknown Soldiers doing their Doors tribute at 5 o'clock. That's the Cypress and 4th stage, all part of the Summer of Love. And headliners at 5 o'clock, where I'll be emceeing at 4th and Vine on Saturday afternoon, is this band. They're getting together after, since splitting up in 1970, Mother Tucker's Yellow Duck. Oh, did this machine go to sleep? Oh, my God.
It actually says sleep on it.
It says sleep, doesn't it? Yeah, that's weird. Okay. Let's try again. We got them all queued up here.
It's wonderful to have a machine that can tell you exactly what's wrong, but they can't rectify the problem themselves.
Ah, here they are. It's going to be a fun reunion on 4th Avenue this Saturday.
Far out.
The times have changed and winds have blown. Things are weighing many people. The little games they're playing no more. They're doing something very groovy.
Groovy.
We're singing love songs. We hope to meet you. We want to tell you that the world should love you. Lost it and now you found it. Don't it make you feel so happy?
Happy.
Losers going in no direction, doing their thing since now.